What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that wants you to ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, get on up, score a goal, like, get up, score a goal, arriving late on the scene, like a CESC machine.
Oh, okay.
My name's okay. Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, and the bloody hell are you?
Very, very well, Terry. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it, pal.
Now, you may have inferred from that little opening salvo.
Yeah, what was that?
A cheeky little reference to Man United punching their way into the top four with an impressively dull 1-0 victory over Everton. Let me finish.
Excuse me.
A sentence.
Is that it?
That's it. That's
it. You're happy with that, I guess, then?
Yeah.
I thought you were pretty quiet on the WhatsApp group. Normally you like to spam the group with United's
We were poor enough, but Everton made us be poor. They're a fucking shite team to watch.
Yeah, they
real,
are.
Real, like, and the referee was dog shit, but like really drag you down into the muck. Everything,
yeah.
Like, everything's like pulling of a shirt. Fucking Tarkovsky, like, you got to appreciate them for it, but they're the biggest fucking like dirtbag merchants.
Yeah,
Arsenal have opened the floodgates with this corner stuff. Like,
I mean, do you think actually that teams are copying Arsenal's style? Like, did Arsenal start it?
They've made anti-football.
Yeah, I'm talking to you, Arsenal fans.
They've certainly made it en vogue because they're being effective with it. Like, you know, you go back, it was like, oh, Sean Dyche's teams or Big Sam's teams, these are the ones that practice the dark arts of packing the box and standing on keepers' toes or whatever.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, the glitterati of Arsenal are also doing it with their 7 centre-halves on the pitch at one time.
Why is it, Terry, that there is so many long throws in the Premier League now, all of a sudden? Why is that a thing?
It's because of data, I think.
Mm.
You know, and they're hiring all these analysts, these set-piece analysts, and then it's like, well, you know, if you actually get the ball into the box from a throw-in quicker, it increases your chance of XG conversion, blah, blah, blue, blah, blah. Meanwhile,
what do you think of it?
I hate it. And we're crying out for the Ronaldinhos, the JJ Okochas, these Mavericks that used to be, like, caca, like they don't exist anymore.
Let me ask you a question. Who do you think, if you could name a player currently playing in the Premier League, who would fit in prime Barclays? Who's a prime Barclaysman? Now, I've got someone in mind, obviously, but who's a prime Barclaysman in today's game?
You're gonna not agree with me, but
you're gonna say Bruno Fernandes.
I totally am.
Bruno Fernandes. Yeah, but I'd actually kind
of
say
catalog
that.
Of goals and assists and everything alone. Like, he reminds me of like two guy esque goals that would have been scored, or Gamps Pedersen, like these sweet strikers of the ball that just.
Why is it that I feel like? Because I feel like I'm going loopy with Bruno Fernandes because, one, I saw a thing with him and his kid the other day. I was like, oh, that's nice. Actually, shit, I like him one notch more. And now he's just minus 501.
That bridge of notch one, Bruno.
But why is it I feel like I never see him score or assist, yet he racks up these insane numbers?
You're not watching Man United
games.
You're not watching, like, I mean, or the games you're watching. I mean, like, he had...
I like to think that I watch them all.
I think he had two assists against Arsenal. Like, it just... Right. Wasn't the last goal, but he had the assist for Dorgio and he had the assist for Mbeumo. Oh, no, excuse me. Zubimendi had the assist for Mbeumo.
Delightful.
Yeah.
I was gonna suggest Dominic Szoboszlai is a modern Barclaysman, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, sure.
Again,
I mean,
just like a, you know, somebody who has a fucking thunder bastard in him.
Would you consider him top three midfielder in the league?
No.
No?
No.
That dismissive?
Yeah, totally. That dismissive. Ooh. Considering he's played most of the season at right full.
And look how influential he's been. I can't get enough of him, to be honest.
Yeah, he's great.
I think he's
for you guys.
Class.
But like, top three midfielders.
I mean, you'd have him in your team. He'd walk. He'd walk.
Who does he replace?
Bruno Fernandes.
No, he doesn't. That's the thing. Like, no metrics. We've been over this again. Neither Wirtz nor Son was like, no midfielders in your team. No midfielders in your team replace Bruno Fernandes.
Okay. Okay, fine. You would lock him in, so he wouldn't move anywhere. You're telling me Szoboszlai wouldn't get in ahead of... Who the fuck else he got?
But, like, is Szoboszlai playing... He's not played a six. He's not our Casemiro. I wouldn't want him ahead of Mainoo because I like Mainoo a lot more. I think Mainoo is neat and tidy. Now, maybe you put him in at right full ahead of Dalot. Like,
I've seen his stats where he's actually, like... Not stats great. Wise. No, stats yeah. wise at right back, he's the top performing right back.
Is he?
In the league. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's still kind of wasted.
We need, we need an upgrade in that position. We need two centre mids next year. We're kind of set for forwards. Bruno could be leaving, you know, so.
Yeah. Mad.
100 million for him, please.
Please.
That's what Saudi wanted.
Saudi, maybe, yeah. But like, is it not. Do players not see? But do players not see how quick all these Premier League players are leaving Saudi? And they're like, we've made a terrible mistake coming here. Yeah, get me out of here.
Yeah, but like.
4 months later.
But those are the ones that are like, you know, in their prime of their career. Like, Bruno is like 31. Like, he could stay at United for 4 more years. He'd still play in our first team. Definitely. You know, maybe not start every game that he has for. Like, I think he'd
be around.
I think he's missed like 4 games United since he, like, has joined.
Oh, wow.
Like, something ridiculous.
That's
like,
pretty good.
Yeah. So, like.
Well, you know what? I think it's. Because Villa and Chelsea have kind of stumbled in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, but then, like, you cheating bastards. Like.
Hey, now. Come on.
Come on.
What? The win?
Yeah.
At the weekend? What was cheating about that? The offside?
Yeah! He's offside!
He had his leg out. Oh, would
you? You can't even see that, like,
yeah,
on
but
it.
But what?
But
when I saw the. Right, we're
the
both
artificially
in agreement. We're both in agreement that the semi-automated offsides are, dubious.
Yeah.
But when I saw that, I was like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, fuck, he's offside. And I swear to God, if that had been disallowed as well, I would have been.
But
I'm not watching football.
It should have been disallowed. First one, the back of his elbow, genuine.
So that's fine. Yeah. I was like, I seen his arm move. I was like, fuck, that's going to be
right. Furthermore.
But, hang on. But then when I, after the semi-automated offside, I looked for it with the naked eye, and you can see his foot is out there. So it is. It's tight, but it's there. It's not like the Wirtz one.
Disagree.
And I'd be the first to say.
Okay, well, here's the other point,
please.
Dexter.
Okay, well, there's no need for
that. How is Ekitike not interfering in play there? Like, he's offside, standing right beside Van Dijk. Like, he's two yards ahead of him. Like,
about that.
Yeah, well, like, this is my point, that, like, whole offside rules.
It's cheating.
I mean, it's cheating.
Is this a United Liverpool sort of thing?
No.
You don't want us to get close. You don't like it when we smell blood. So you don't want us to get close to
Andy,
you.
Andy, yous are fucking brutal. Like,
so bad.
So unbelievable.
It was genuinely
terrible.
One of the worst performances of the season.
That Carragher being like, this is robbery, you know?
Yeah, it was a robbery.
Yeah.
Well, although, like, I don't know.
Yous are crap.
It was a smash and grab. I would say. I don't know about robbery, but it's a smash and grab.
At least with
something
us,
was stolen.
At least with us, we scored a really delightful goal.
Didn't see it.
Did you not?
No.
Big Ben. Bong. You know?
Well, listen, Terry.
Yeah.
Speaking of bong.
Yeah?
Your time's nearly up because you just turned 40.
Oh, I know.
I used to run for miles. used to ride my bike. I used to wake up with a smile. How was it? How was your party?
Party was good, yeah. It was a very nice time. Thanks to everybody who came out and had a drink with me.
You're gonna try the drink then?
Well, you had a drink.
I did, actually. Yeah.
I was like, I didn't realize they do like 0.0 Corona. And then you're like, just one. I was like, all right. I think you might be over the limit.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what they are. Yeah. And as Andy well pointed out, if I had 3 of those, I'd be on my ass.
Exactly.
So for me, it's like, yeah.
It was a lovely time and went to Fibbers.
Yeah, how was that?
Great. I had some tequila. It was lovely.
I'm
thinking of becoming a tequila guy.
Like, I could see that transition
buying
happen.
Myself. I mean, tequila is my shot of choice, but like buying a bottle of tequila and just like drinking it at home.
I could see you as a tequilasman.
Mm-hmm.
Get some Terramana in your house.
No.
The good stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. The good stuff.
Maybe the Kluntang's tequila company that he sold.
Ooh.
You know? Or
bit of
what's the dose Dos Hermanos? Is that like Cranston and... Yeah, Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul.
They have their own?
Yeah, I think it's called Dos Hermanos.
You want to get Bruno Mars's...
I'm not giving that man any more money. He's doing just fine. We've discussed this.
What is it he has? He's got some rum or something, whatever it is.
Not
Ricky Gervais's Dutch Barn. You're a fan of his London Underground posters, I'd imagine. You think they're very funny.
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it.
I like the old ones really though. Like the first ones he used to do, like, you know, and
Yeah. I think you're having me on. Yeah. Well, Terry,
how could you tell?
It's
ooh.
Present season.
Whoa.
P.S.
Carroll?
I didn't wrap it.
P.J. Carroll. Who's P.J. Carroll?
It's 20 Smokes. Oh, she likes 20, cigarettes.
20 Marmalites. Thank you so much. Hello.
No problem.
What is this? A t-shirt.
I hope it's correct.
Oh.
Do you get the reference?
Yeah.
Is that all right? You don't have that, right?
No, I don't.
Fucking nailed it.
You know, it makes no sense to you because you've never seen the thing. But
I Googled it even when I seen that. I'm like, right, is that a thing from the thing?
Yeah.
And then I'd see some t-shirts and it's like, no, that's not niche enough.
It's like the best Kurt Russell has ever looked as well.
He did look the fucking man. Although I will say this.
Don't say Christmas Chronicles.
It's a different kind of look. By far, the best looking movie Santa. Is Kurt Russell in Christmas Chronicles 1 and 2.
Still on this.
Who looks better as a Santa?
Yeah, I know. But you got to get over it, man.
No, but that's just... We're talking about how good he looks.
They stink. I tell you, I watched...
Well, they don't stink, so...
I watched Tombstone on the old...
what's that?
It's a film. It's a Western from 1993 starring Kurt Russell. I talked about it on the other podcast, which you obviously haven't listened to.
I heard.
I heard a little dig at me at the end.
Yes,
sir.
Nice.
That's like having myself with that.
Yeah, that's good.
But he plays Wyatt Earp. Now, surely you've heard of Wyatt Earp.
No, great name, though.
You never heard of Wyatt Earp, the famous gunslinger from the Old West?
No.
What?
Wired Up?
Wyatt Earp. Have you heard of Billy the Kid?
Yeah.
Bill Hickok? Bill Hickok?
I have.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Mustache.
Yeah, they all have mustaches. They all do. But he plays Wyatt Earp and he has a fantastic mustache. And he has two brothers in it. Both have great mustaches as well.
He just looks great anyway, doesn't he? Like,
Bill Paxton is in the movie.
Hey.
And so is Sam Elliott.
Don't know who that is.
Yeah, he's in The Big Lebowski. Well, dude. Sometimes there's a... That's a pretty good Elliott.
Yeah. Oh.
Sometimes there's a man.
I think I can picture the guy that you're talking about. And I picture he's more mustache than man.
Yeah, I think
I know the guy.
He's like the fucking Marlboro Cowboy, essentially. Actually played the Marlboro Cowboy in a movie we went to see together.
Oh, yeah.
Thank You for Smoking.
Oh, yeah, remember that?
It's the future, Andy.
I don't remember one thing about that movie.
It's good.
I remember thinking it was all right.
Yeah, I think we got high and we're like, this will be funny. And it's like,
yeah, wasn't that funny.
Not really. not a lot of belly laughs in it.
Wasn't exactly Juice Bigelow European gigolo in terms of laughs, was it?
Never. But, nothing ever is. Yeah, perfect. I want to talk to you about something I was watching with my children at the weekend.
Oh, okay.
I got one of my, you know, magic box. And they have the channel Boomerang on it.
Oh, yeah.
You know Boomerang?
Of course.
Yeah.
Change the game.
Yeah. And it was showing old Looney Tunes.
Yes.
And it was like Daffy Duck's Quackbusters.
Okay.
Which is like Ghostbusters. But it's a bunch of like Looney Tunes shorts. They're all ghost themed, but it's like a feature length movie.
Oh, great.
Put that on. Kids, they didn't want to watch. They liked it, and then I was like, don't want to watch it because there's ghosts.
Right.
Not mad on ghosts. And I was like, okay, I'll check on the box. You can check for like, you know, movies and box sets.
Yeah.
And they had, I don't know if you ever remember this, it was my favorite one growing up, Bugs Bunny 1001 Tales or whatever.
The framing device
was like Bugs and Daffy were like book salesmen. Oh. And it was like they have to go and, you know, try and outsell each other. It's like a door-to-door salesman. But they end up, like, Bugs ends up, they end up in, like, the desert, and there's like a sultan, like Yosemite Sam is a sultan.
Right, great.
It's like all the, but I realize now as I'm older, I'm like, oh, it's just like we have a bunch of short films that we're just going to put into a whole thing.
String them all together.
So like Bugs for like half the movie is like telling stories to the sultan's son.
Oh, right.
And like, but I remember.
So at this stage, the kids had left the room and
No, they were loving it. But what was on it was, and I forgot that it was on, it was one of my favorite ones, like the frog, the singing frog.
Hello, my baby.
Hello. And I was like, kids, oh my God. Can you believe it? And they're like, what? It? And it's like, if you like abuse it. Me, honey, you lose me.
It was so funny. And like, I think of that all the time.
What, the Spaceballs?
The frog
version?
I think of the Looney Tunes one more because I've seen it more. But the Spaceballs one is great as well.
Spaceballs one, I completely forgot about it. And we were watching it when we were super high. And there's like, the thing pops out. And
that's going to just make your head explode.
The little spot. I think my parents had just come in as well. So like trying to keep it like under wraps. And it was like the little spotlight in the hat. Like, hello, my baby.
The little hat going on there.
But like, it just made me realize like, they don't make like kids' cartoons like that. And I'm sure I've said this before on the podcast, but like,
no, like
it's a cartoon for everyone, a la Tom and Jerry.
But you know? This is what, like, I'm amazed at those. Like, presumably that's like what also like around the Tom and Jerry stage, 40s and whatever like that.
Yeah, like 40s, 50s, you know, like.
And like, I am amazed at the level of creativity that they had in cartoons back then. When like, it seems like such a stuffy decade of like no fun and all serious, but the cartoons,
but it was
seem so like the, some of those Tom and Jerry, like they're actually genius the way, but like the way Tom falls into an accordion and then you get like, it's just, but the way they'll think of 100 new ways for him to get hit and it be funny.
Yeah,
and like same with like Looney Tunes, I'm amazed that they had it in them.
But I
75 80 years ago,
I think like the writers that they were recruiting was like, you know, it was people that were writing on the Smothers Brothers or these type of, like, you know, you're not mainstream comedy, but like the writers are like, remember, you don't remember, but like Mank, movie, like when they were writing movies, they'd have a writer's room of like six guys that'd be sitting around, you know, drinking and smoking, and then it's like, okay, let's sober up for 5 minutes and go pitch it to it. But like, that's what I imagine is that it's just like these really funny guys, but instead of it being for camera, it's just for cartoons or whatever like that. Like,
and just the fact that it's hand drawn and whatever, like it does,
like
it immerses me a bit more.
Like, yeah, completely. Like, and there was one that was like he's reading like, Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah.
And it was somebody kept saying like, oh, my like nephew Hansel. I was like, Hansel? And like, they all just kept repeating Hansel, and I was like, that's why is that so funny to me? Like that, just that, like the idea of like, oh yeah, this is Hansel, and then somebody's like, Hansel? Huh? They'd all like walk off, they'd walk off stage being like, Hansel? Like that,
like, it doesn't serve
for the kids. Yeah. They were kind of like, they were laughing at me laughing, and I was like, that's just a really funny joke to me. That it's like, it is a weird sounding name now that you say it out loud.
Now, you know that they have on YouTube now, the Warner Brothers YouTube channel has full episodes of various like Tom and Jerry mega, but like, not just like, it annoys me when you only get the little scenes.
Yeah,
because
I wonder if they have the Barber of Seville.
I'm Tom and Jerry one?
No, it's Bugs Bunny.
The
opera.
Oh, Elmer Fudd. That's great.
That's so good.
But yeah, I was watching the one, just, you know, the one where, it's possibly one of my favourite Tom and Jerry's, where he's getting chased by the dog, but he keeps stopping for your one.
Yeah.
He's like, I love you. It's like, the voice that they have. And, like, it goes from, like, first of all, just that, like, whenever he gets hurt is really funny. But then they have one where it's like, I love you. Yeah, you set my soul on fire. And then it goes to the other end, like, the custard pie, let me have it. You know? They just, the difference.
They're on, my good friends at Now TV have a bunch of the old
How
Tom
much is that
Jerry
per month, by the way?
I don't know, £6?
All right, I thought you were
going to. Look, no free ads. Okay. Never been any free ads on this podcast. Okay, but I've, so like, Bonnie, like, we've watched a bunch of the old ones on that. It's just like, you know, getting Gus into it as well. But I'm like, you know what?
Aren't sweeter.
I'm going to go find all the other Bugs Bunny movies like that had like, there's like a Bugs Bunny and the Roadrunner movie. I'm like, ooh, you want to have that sweet spot. And it even go up as far as Tiny Toons. Because Tiny Toons
Fucking love Tiny Toons. Like Vacation or whatever it was, there was one feature length one where they were stuck on an island or something. So fucking brilliant. I loved all of that. I love Tiny Toon.
The game. Remember the game on the SNES?
Yeah.
Fucking really impossible, good. Like class. Yeah,
like we had like Buster Bunny and Daffy Duck, or was it?
No, it wasn't Daffy.
It was the, what was his name? Yeah. Anyway, but we had the things and all. But when your kids get into stuff that you like, it's the greatest thrill. Yeah, I've tried to. Yeah. Like, Joni's kind of getting into the Smiths lately.
Ooh.
Like, she loves There's a Light That Never Goes Out. She loves Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now.
Big Mouth?
I don't think I played that one yet. This Charming Man. But, like, she really, she's, like, you know, she'll request it. She requested Bowie, Starman or something the other day, because they were learning about
Starman
it in
Starman or something.
Like, excuse me. No, I'm trying to think. What was it that she remembered? Was it Starman? It was.
All right. So you're like, maybe this song, Starman or something.
Excuse me.
You were dead right. What podcast is it? What podcast do you think you're on?
You were dead right to call me up on that. But no, no.
Yeah, I think it's.
I was trying to think. Was it that one or was it something else? Yeah. But anyway, and then I overdid it a bit. She's like, "Can we listen to something else?" I was like, "Fuck."
No problem. Black Star.
So yeah, very exhilarating. Hey.
Yes.
I have some questions for you. How about that?
All right, yeah.
Right, Terry. In honor of you turning 40.
I tell you, I was hungover on Sunday to bits. Stayed up with my mum's. And
does it last more than a day for you now?
Sunday evening, I was in bed at 8:30.
Nice.
Like, I'd sleep. I think I'd go up at 9 to let the cat out because he was giving out. But then I like head back on the pillow at like 9 o'clock. Like, I was like, a good, 9 hours? Like, unheard of in
that
my life.
That is absolutely, that's
but a
three
still tired. Still tired Monday. I wasn't hungover so much, but I was like, tired.
You're robbing the energy from the next day when you're having a drink. You know what I mean? You're robbing the energy from the day after. That's what you do.
Thanks, Ronnie Drew.
Right. So, 4 minutes, Terry.
Have you got the timer?
Yeah, I got a timer.
Okay.
In honor of your 40th. Mm-hmm. So these are, I've got a bunch of quick fire questions for you, personal questions.
Okay.
And I'm going to need you to just either not elaborate, just quick fire.
Like mastermind.
Yeah. Some of them you may not be able to get so quick, but if you can just say pass. Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Okay. So, number one, what was the most I'm not built for adulthood moment you had this week?
Oh. Trying to look after my kids on Sunday.
Great. Like, what's something you're convinced everyone else understands except you?
Except me.
I know these are thinkers, but that's the challenge. What is everyone
cooking
else?
Pasta.
Okay, great. What personality trait causes you the most damage? I'll answer that.
talking about movies.
What's your weirdest daily ritual?
I guess it's not even weird. Early morning Lucozade. Early morning Lucozade.
What's one hill you'll die on that nobody agrees with?
Bruno Fernandes is the best player in the Premier League.
What's the best accidental advice someone ever gave you? You can pass on that. What's your most unnecessary purchase this year?
Unnecessary purchase?
How long?
Blu-ray, I guess. They're not necessary, but they are to me.
What's something that used to embarrass you, but now you own it? Really getting to know Terry here on the pod.
Yeah. Pass.
Okay. What's a job you're glad you never ended up doing?
Carpet fitter. Took my dad's advice. I wouldn't be made out for it.
What's a moment you realized you were the villain?
Oh, boy. I hurt my hurt an old friend's feelings accidentally and hurt.
You gotta hear about that. We'll talk about it after. Yeah. What do you
where are you getting these questions from?
They're just 30 quick fire questions. What do people assume about you that's completely wrong?
No.
Okay, you really...
I'm a tough guy.
Yeah, dead wrong.
Yeah.
What do people get right about you that you hate admitting? These are proper introspective questions.
Where are you getting these from?
Just found them. Just answer the questions, all right?
Pass, I don't know. Like, what was the question?
What's your worst habit when you're stressed?
Biting my nails.
What's a tiny thing that gives you huge joy?
A tiny thing?
Your penis. Terry, is the answer your penis?
A tiny thing that gives me huge joy. My penis.
Okay. What's a tiny thing that irrationally enrages you?
Oh, spills. Like liquids being spilled.
Ooh.
I just irrational. I'm like, and it happens all the time in my house. So I'm working on that.
Ooh, okay. What's the last time you felt completely out of your depth? This quiz.
Yeah. Completely out of my depth. I mean, when I started driving, you know?
That's a while ago.
Like, I was thinking about it coming home the other day. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, I was like, I can't do this.
I know. Remember how the fear.
Yeah.
When do you feel funniest?
In the pub with a group of people around me. Like, you know, I feel like I have a certain hit rate that I'll probably get.
Yeah, nice. When do you feel most boring?
30 seconds
left.
Explaining movies to my wife.
And podcast co-host.
No. I think at least somebody else is listening.
What's the most Irish thing about you?
I have red beard hair.
Oh, I thought you were going to go somewhere else with that.
Not...
What's something you'll never understand about other people?
How they can drink sparkling water.
Yes.
And so many people in my life are doing it now.
So many.
I'm like, where's this come from?
You're one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, last one. 5 seconds left. What is your comfort film?
Paddington 2.
Okay. Oof. That was actually quite stressful.
Now
we all know Terry a little bit better.
I thought it'd be like, what's your favourite movie? You know, like...
No, proper deep, quick fire deep questions.
It's like, don't think about it.
But they're all thinkers.
They really are. That was fun.
Yeah, there we go.
Bit of crack.
I'm wrecked now.
You got any news?
Yeah, I have a new car.
Did you get it?
No.
Oh.
I know.
Huh?
Unfortunately, we're not riding home in it tonight. But technically, it's not new. It is the same.
It's new to you.
It's the same year as the car that I have, but considerably less miles. It's a 7-seater and it's an automatic.
Nice.
So, and it's funny because like
the black,
it's red.
Red.
Yeah.
Look at you.
I know.
Fancy Dan.
Look at me.
I don't own many red t-shirts, by the way. Nice choice in color.
I thought you want a bit of color. You know what I mean? But. I just thought it was funny because, like, my mom's fella, Derek, is always...
He's a car guy,
right? Cars. He loves buying and selling cars. She says he's been non-stop out of this car since it's parked in my mom's at the minute.
Right.
It's like, he's been non-stop. He's like, he's after getting it washed and waxed. Like, it's great. Like, it's like, he's after getting a spare tire
for it. Just put the second coat on now, Andy.
Yeah. You know? But I just thought it was funny because it was like, he, like... sourced it and got a good deal and all this. This is what he loves doing, all this. And he'd done it for his kid and for Tony and all this sort of stuff.
I told him I got a deal on it.
Yeah. You reckon it's hot?
It's a Willard.
I'm ruined. But it was funny just because my mom sent me a video, like the worst quality video ever. Just blurry, like zoomed right in on the fabric of the seats. I'm like, I can't see anything about it. And then like I hear Derek in the background. It's like, what do you think, Tony? Because he always calls me Tony. It's like, what do you think, Tony? Like, and she's just like, no, it's a video. And like, just, it was the most parent sort of thing. And I was like, ma'am, that's the worst quality video.
Did he call you Tony by accident?
No, he's always like, what do you think, Tony or Andy? Like literally for the last 20 years every time. And sometimes he doesn't correct himself. But and then I was like, ma'am, that's the worst quality video that I've ever seen. She's like, I was eating toast earlier and I spilled some butter on my lens and I can't get it off. Okay. I'm trying to see the car through all this shit. I'm like, yeah, it's great. Like, you know, but I was very appreciative because my car, as you know, is
there's been times when I'm like in the car with you. I'm like, why is that alarm going off? Like, ding, ding. It's like we're on the motorway. I'm like, shouldn't that happen? Like, don't worry about it.
Best not think about it.
There you go. Just needs a little loving as well.
So yes. So
happy
there's that.
For you.
And also, I got a big bit of news. I don't know if I should even say it or should I just... Yeah, I'll just say it.
Is this the...
next week thing?
Yeah, yeah.
So I got... Well, this episode will actually be released at the day I'm recording it.
Yeah.
I got an email from someone from The Overlap saying that we love the sketches and we share them in our WhatsApp group. So already I'm like, okay, well, that's all I need to hear. And they said, oh, we'd like to have you on the fan debate. It's a World Cup qualifier special. We'd like you to be the Irish guy. And I was like, great. And they said, also, if you want to use our set for one of your sketches, we'd love to help. I'm like... So I spent about 10 minutes just going, in the house until Kerry was like, well, you're doing it. I'm like, well, yeah, I can't say no to that.
Yeah.
But I had to really get the help from you and A-Roy on Saturday.
Do you remember everything we told you?
I think I do.
Good.
I think I know what I'm talking about, kind of, unless they throw me some real hardball questions. Like, name 7 players.
So the first time Ireland were in the European, the World Cup, or whatever, like...
So all that sort of, but I mean, it's super exciting. But the most, I mean, I'm arguably just as excited about the fact that they're flying me over on the Sunday night and recording on the Monday. That night's sleep that I'm going to get on Sunday night,
ooh-ee,
man. Just even pottering about in an airport by myself excites me.
Go to the bookstore and pay. You know, overpriced.
Buy a book?
Yeah, that's what I mean. But like, pay like 20 quid for a book you get on Amazon for half the price.
Exactly. So, very excited about all that. So, we'll see how it turns out. I'm either going to make a total tit of myself, or it'll be fine.
Either way, it'll be clips.
Either way, it's getting clipped up.
You.
Yeah.
Told me you were watching a show that I wanted to ask you about.
Better Call Saul?
Yes.
That's right. 4 episodes in.
What do you think?
I like it.
Nice. Let me ask you, is episode 4 the billboard episode?
Yes.
It's a great episode.
Yeah, I liked that one. I really loved episode 1. I liked episode 2. I thought episode 3 was okay. And then episode 4 kind of brought me back, if you know what I mean.
There's a great episode. It's either like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
That it's like a mic episode. Called 5-0.
Oh, good.
And like, it kind of takes a break
from Saul.
And it shifts the whole episode onto Mike. And like, how he got from Detroit to Albuquerque or whatever like that. Like, it's really...
I like him as a character. I would,
because he's
would
not really
that.
Had a lot to do in the first few episodes.
Walter.
That's mine.
You know what I realized I could do a good impression of?
Yeah.
Milhouse's dad. You ready?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like the idea of Milhouse having 2 spaghetti meals in one day.
You kind of lost it with spaghetti, but
I know.
That's not
can
bad.
I have my tape back at least? I'm kind of losing it, but I was nailing it.
I'll
last
be back.
Probably.
Probably.
How about it, Luann? Will you marry me?
You kind of lost it
again.
Oh, no.
Okay. Okay. But
not terrible.
It's not bad. Yeah. So you'd know who I was doing.
Yeah.
But Better Call Saul. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I really loved the first one. And how many episodes in each season?
10.
Okay, good. So I'm nearly halfway through season 1. And I imagine it just gets better and better as the seasons go on.
Yeah, the first season is the most uneven, I would say.
It does seem a little uneven.
It kind of, they're figuring out what kind of show they want it to be.
Yeah, that's kind
because
of what it feels
like. Is it like a case of the week, episode of the week type thing? Or
yeah.
And they kind of, I've just finished reading a book on it, McGill versus Goodman, and it's like an episode by episode recap. I've won, like, this writer, his name is Alan Sepinwall, he's a legendary TV recapper.
Right.
Like, he was working for Rolling Stone for the last, I think he just got let go by Rolling Stone.
Oh.
But it was kind of like, he did recaps for Lost, he did recaps for Breaking Bad, and so like, he put all his stuff into a book. So he's done one for The Sopranos, he did one for Breaking Bad, did one for The OC, which I've also got, and he did one for Better Call Saul, and they talk about it in these interviews and stuff like that, that it's like, they really were not sure, like, not to spoil anything, but they're like, by the end of season 1, he's going to be in the Saul Goodman office in the strip mall with the things, like, that doesn't happen at the end of season 1.
Okay.
But it's like,
I could kind of
build it to it that you're like, I don't want him to become Saul Goodman. Like, I want him to stay Jimmy, you know? Yeah. Like, that's the tragedy of the show, almost.
And I didn't even realize that it's like, Saul Good, man.
Like, Faye was the same. Like, I said, I was like, I just said it to her, and she's like, what? And I was like, yeah. He's like,
yeah, I did not cop that at all until he was just casually mentioning it. Yeah. But I could, you know, as much as I'm enjoying it, I could see if they continued down this road, why it wouldn't have made it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it might have had a little home somewhere, but it wouldn't have become the...
Like,
it's... If it's a behemoth, I don't know if that's what it is.
They start to split the show in that you have the Saul and Mike side of the show. And the Mike side of the show...
Beefs up, does
is
it?
Way more cartel-based. They've way more, like, Tuco and
it
Hector
definitely feels
stuff.
Like Breaking Bad. Like, it does feel to me like Breaking Bad at the minute.
Yeah.
I'm sure it changes as it goes on.
Well, it kind of... Yeah, I mean... Depends, like, I much preferred, as it went on, the Jimmy stuff rather than the cartel stuff.
Right.
But, like, the cartel stuff is still really fascinating.
Yeah.
But, like, the Jimmy stuff of, like, the lawyer, like, there's drama from this, you know, the stuff with his brother and Howard. Yeah. Now, Howard. Do you recognize Howard?
Who?
Howard Hamlin.
Don't know who that is.
He's the guy that, like, works with the brother's law firm, the other partner. In Better Call Saul.
Michael Keane? Michael McKean?
No, his partner, you know, Jimmy.
Who is he? Now, and I meant to say it to you.
Only
I was
gonna, the real
I was
going to
message you on Sunday and be like, Terry, tell me where I Googled him. I was like, where do I know him from? Come on.
Well, I'm standing at the edge of tomorrow and it's all up to me, I'm sure.
I'm further away.
It's my time to break away. I'm standing at the edge of tomorrow. Today.
I don't know what that is, but...
That's Saved by the Bell, the new class, or the college years, whatever.
I did see that. That was on his thing, but who is he?
He was the, like, teacher, the professor that Kelly dumped Zach for.
Was he not in something else as well?
Oh, that was the big thing I know. That's like he's the sleazeball that stole Kelly away from Zach in Saved by the Bell, the college years.
You can see why. He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah. Patrick Fabian is his name.
Yes. Yeah. Oof, he looks like a Fabian as well.
He's so good.
He's great.
And like it only becomes a more... Like he can be a very one-note character.
He stays in it, does he?
Yeah, for a long part of it. Like,
Yeah, big fan.
Good. Glad to hear it.
So I'm going to keep going. I couldn't really think of more movies to watch when during my morning feeds on Sundays. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. I've so much to watch there. And yeah, it's great.
Kerry's not watching it, you know?
No, but she'll dip in and out. You know what I mean?
Dipped in.
Yeah.
Speaking of, Link to Better Call Saul is a banger that I sent you.
Hey, yes. Play the jingle.
It's bangers for Andy. Fuck you, Four Eyes.
That, of course, was the jingle for Bangers for Andy.
So the song I sent you.
I was interested in just the name. Tapioca Tundra from Michael Naismith.
Michael Nesmith. You may know him as a member of the Monkees.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So this song was used as one of those classic Gilliganverse montages, you know, that would be in Breaking Bad. This one is actually in Better Call Saul.
Ah.
And I was like, what is that song? I cannot get that song out of my head. And then I had the Monkees version on my Spotify. And it's not the same.
Oh, I'd be interested to hear the Monkees version.
Yeah, you should give it a go. It's good, but I much prefer the demo version that I sent you. You can only get it on YouTube, folks.
Well, folks, I'm going to play a bit of this song, and then I'll tell you what I thought of it.
In freshly tattered shoes, it cannot be a part of me, for now it's part of you. Sunshine time blowing in the breeze. Midnight looks right, standing more at ease. Silhouettes and figures stay close to what he had to say. And one more time, the faded dream is saddened by the news. It cannot be a part of me, for now it's part of you.
A little instrumental here.
Okay.
No.
I listened to it a few times.
Yeah.
There are. I'll just say I didn't like it.
Did you not?
No, I did. It was a bit. I'm sorry to say now, it was a bit boring for me.
Really?
I liked a little bit of like a little instrumental. Yeah. Bit. I liked that. I think that was kind of like it. Kind of made me go. But I was kind of waiting for it to start. I was like, this is obviously associated with a scene that he's seen in something, and it's made the scene better. But without any of that, and just hearing it out of the blue, it was a
didn't
little
work for you?
Okay. A little humdrum.
Well, that's
for me.
The point of these things.
But
I guess.
Like, you know, that kind of all be hits. Yeah. But I'd be very interested to hear the Monkees version if
it's more upbeat.
If they're harmonizing a bit over it,
there's a quicker tempo to it, like, you know.
Or if anything, I feel like if I'd heard the Monkees one first and then heard this version.
It's the opposite way for me, because I was like, oh yeah, put it on the Monkees, of course.
Yeah.
And then it was like, this isn't the same song. No, yeah. I left it on the playlist because I liked the song.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I was like, where's the Nesbitt version? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I was looking up on Reddit and it's like, was never released. It's a demo only version.
No way.
Like, oh. And, one of those ones. Like,
that was in the Better Call Saul episode?
Yeah, it was in the Better Call Saul episode. Nice. Like,
look, I wouldn't say I dislike it.
Mm-hmm.
I just
didn't scratch it.
It didn't scratch me. Nice. I'm still itchy after I listened to it. You know what I mean? You can reach around there.
Who gets first reach around?
But okay. That might lead us on to the...
What are your feelings on the Monkees, just before we move on?
I really like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're underrated.
I think they have the Porpoise song, that's
Porpoise,
theirs.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Certainly, yeah, I like them. I mean... Even their kind of later stuff, even like they've really
got a bit like psychedelic towards the end, like
when they kind of started doing it themselves.
Yeah.
But even like old Monkees, like Me and Magdalena, is a great song. You know what I mean? Like
as we go along, I'm a big fan of. Like,
I think they have some. Yeah, I like them. Yeah. I don't care really that it was
like a corporate
in the early days. Yeah,
it's like essentially a boy band. Act like, you know,
it just sounds good.
Yeah.
Now,
glad we cleared that up.
Time for the next segment. Sir, a second song has hit the tower.
Which one's better? You can't both have the same title.
Which one's better?
Who wins?
Terry, I hit you with two songs. It's the Maneater Special. So we're going to play them both and come back and you tell me which one hits your tower.
That's good.
I wanna see you fall like an angel.
Okay, Terry.
Never forget. Never forget.
So, which one? We had, obviously, Nelly Furtado, which I knew would lure you in. Now, surprisingly to me, before all this, you're not. I thought you would be the most Hall & Oates-man guy
More than me.
I thought you would be lapping it up. Like a cat with a saucer of milk.
I mean, Maneater is, you know, a classic. You know, when you put it on, it's like, doodle-doodle-doodle-doodle. I'm like, ooh. You know, it gets me tingling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what it's all
about. This was a hard. This was about as close as we've had it,
ooh,
I think.
That's what I want to hear.
Since we've started doing this segment.
Now, I don't know how long this segment's going to run because I'm finding it harder and harder to.
I got some there.
But yeah,
you can tweak it as well.
So this was a close one.
This was a close one. I listened to them boat and work, and then on the way up the hill as well, walking home, and then again this morning. And
which one does it for you? Objectively,
they both do it for me. You know, I'm going to say that.
Okay, good.
Cards on the table. They both do it for me. And like every time I listened to one, it was like, and I you know, here's what I did. I listened to Hall & Oates first, and then Furtado second, and then Furtado first.
Nice.
And
putting in the effort.
The taste test. Oh, you know
I
what
like
I mean?
It. Yeah.
And I will say, I'm going to give it to my girl Nelly Furtado.
Oh, what?
No, do the thing again. Do the thing again.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of thought, but I mean, I like the fact that it's pushed you close. Though.
I mean, it's.
It's like
at the start I was like, because you know me, I'm more of a promiscuous girlsman than I am a man eatersman. But so when it was Hall & Oates first, I was like, this is gonna do it. And then there's something about like the start,
it's infectious.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And a little bit like, you know, like that little like
that classic Timbaland collab that she was on for a year.
Yeah, I mean, it's only two songs, I think. Like,
basically,
she actually has a song on that album called "Somebody to Love," and I was like, "Is it anything? Could it have gone in the mix?" It's not anything. It's not worth your time.
Yeah,
but like, there's something. It's like the drum in like Nelly Furtado, like the snare drum.
Ooh.
And it's a bit dangerous, you know what I mean?
There is a bit of danger.
You know,
in it
it's like never gonna get it.
But I feel like both songs have an element of danger.
Yeah, but like I wasn't really afraid with Hall & Oates, you know. Yeah, you know, like,
ooh, what?
It's like the
looking over your shoulder as you're walking up the hill.
The sax makes me feel safe, you know. It's like, you know what? It's fine.
I was a little scared, but now everything's gonna be all right.
And this their voice, you know, he always goes out at night. You know,
I'm fine.
Yeah, exactly. Like
I'm in a well lit, well populated neighborhood.
Yeah, it's like it's non threatening voice there. Whereas Furtado was like something different.
He's going to come out behind the dumpster. You know what I mean?
It's like Furtado, considering she was like, I'm like a bird before that, and I was like, hold on a second. Like this, she's.
Who's this?
And like the video, she was all sweaty and all shit in. Like it was
you
just.
You don't tell me.
Yeah.
But you know what? I feel like I never warmed to her.
Warmer to her now than I am.
Yeah, I've seen some shots of her lately.
Yeah, body positivity is what I'll say. Yeah,
but she looks great. But I always felt at the time, do you know what? This is probably unfair, but I felt like she was a bit thick. Do you know what I mean?
Just like a bit thick.
Now she, how did I miss that? I felt like at the time she was metaphorically intellectually.
She was thick, and now she's thick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
exactly. And I prefer this version. Do you know what I mean? Like
a fake kind of or something as well.
Yeah,
like, you know,
like she's kind of.
It was almost like in this one, it was like she's cosplaying a little bit. Like,
yes, a little. You know, yes.
Yeah. Mm. But it didn't take away from the way the song was produced for me.
Yeah.
That, like.
It's solid.
I was ping ponging back and forth, to be honest. Like,
but I wonder, would she be shit if it wasn't for Timbaland and those two songs?
I mean, that's Promiscuous Girl, and then you go up again. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
And was Maneater first and then Promiscuous Girl?
Yeah, Maneater was the first release off that.
And you're on a rocket ship to the moon.
Yeah, like, you're like, whoa, jump up. Whoa. Again.
What else you got?
Oh. Nothing, okay? We don't have anything else.
But yeah, I mean, I'm glad that it ran you close.
Yeah, very.
But Okay. Well, Terry, do you have anything else to talk about?
No, why don't we just plug the old Patreon?
Sure. Well, what Terry is referring to there is a little area where you can get, oh, I don't know, 300 episodes for a mere €5 per month, recurring payment. You will get... I mean, we have about 7 or 8 mini-series, not just episodes, mini-series, including the entire MCU up into Phase 3, and some Phase 4. We have Big Willy's Flops, a.k.a. Will Smith's bad movies. Was he really that bad after 2010, we tell you? We got 90s action, we got Ryan Gosling movies. Terry tried to turn me on Ryan Gosling because I really did not care for him. Movies of Tony Scott, heist movies... I'm sure I'm forgetting.
Movies of 2007.
Movies of 2007, of course. And you get a bunch of, I mean, about 30 odd top 5 rankings of various things, but movies, music, things in general, soundtracks, opening tracks, all this stuff.
And we're currently covering the movies of Matt Damon. We're
just about to talk about Dogma.
Oh, speaking of, I knew there was something else I wanted to talk about before we finish this off. Watched Clerks 3.
You did?
On the back of watching Dogma.
And? Dog shit?
It's not good.
You just know it would be.
It made me sad.
Really?
It made me sad. And, but.
Was Jane Silent Bob Reboot any good?
No. And then I looked at the dates and like, Jane Silent Bob Reboot was 2019. Clerks 3 was 4 years ago, 2022. I was like, whoa.
God, 2020. The more shocking thing is that 2022 is 4 years ago.
I know. I was like, that was like 2024, right? Like, that was 2 years ago when they made this movie. It's like, no. It's not, he's really, whatever fastball he had up until
James Bond Strike Back.
Yeah, it's gone.
That was kind of the last go. Now, I didn't see Tusk, or I didn't see Red State, or maybe I did see Red State. I think there was some bits in Red State that was
I would have
right.
thought you might have watched Tusk, to be honest. It's more up your alley.
I think I did. I can't really remember now.
Maybe he's Justin Long.
Yeah, I appreciated the big swing of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I actually watched it, though. I mean, I can't remember. I wouldn't remember if
kind
I
kind of cooked now, like, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, I kind of find now with him, I know we'll probably save it for the Patreon, which you can access for €5 a month, which we'll be talking about shortly. You know, I could listen to Kevin Smith talk movies all day in 2000 and 2001. I can't really listen to him talk about anything anymore. And you know what I mean?
Depends on the setting. Like
he loves to talk.
Yeah, and like he was on the big picture because the Dogma like Blu-ray release happened this year.
Couldn't get it. Harvey Weinstein thing.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. But he was on the big picture, and like Sean Fennessy was like, who is a very good interviewer.
Yeah,
and he stopped me. He's like, I asked him like 2 questions. He talked for an hour.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
I think he knows,
and he does.
He knows he's a good storyteller.
Yeah, it's the same.
But I feel like he kind of indulges himself a little bit too much.
He was on Blank Check a couple of times.
Yeah,
and like those are like historically a 3-hour podcast.
Yeah.
About one movie, and he was on talking about Die Hard, and like. Just ran the table with the conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, he seems like the loveliest guy, but... But we'll talk more about that over the paywall. You can join us. There's a door right there. The combination is €5 a month.
But if you can't afford the €5 fee,
You
can do me one more better.
Drop and, dead, huh?
Give me a rating and review. Now, Andy... Did you know that Big Benjamin Sesko has 8... league goals this year, but I don't want an 8-star review.
Not very good,
that's
is it?
Messy. 8 league goals.
It's not very good, is it?
He hasn't started
like
a lot.
30
of games.
Games played.
He hasn't played 30 games. United are on course for a historic 40 game season.
I don't think that's a bragging right.
No, that's what I mean. It's a historic low. It's the it's actually the least amount of games you can play in a Premier League season.
Wow,
38 plus 2 cup games that were already out of it. So.
That's true. So, that's a good stat.
Yeah,
I like it.
So he scored 8, but I don't want an 8-star review. I want a 5-star review.
Yeah, so does he do it every week?
Just
pick a number, go with it.
Yeah, that's it,
folks. Thank you so much, and apologies for the inconsistencies as of late. We really appreciate you sticking with us. You can check out Terry's dulcet tones. Very, it's almost ASMR-y, your podcast. You were slightly too close to the mic, I'm going to say, but I didn't want to rain on your parade.
Wasn't so happy with my setup. I had to kind of maneuver a few things around.
Yeah, but it sounded good. It sounded very immersive. You know what I mean? It helped with the ASMR of it, and he's got the voice for it, folks. Well, so
fuck you.
If you like Terry talking about movies,
what a fucking asshole you are!
And you don't like that other annoying guy interrupting him saying he hasn't seen it all the time, check out a big titted podcast. Yeah. His official
big titted podcast. Oh, I don't have to deal with Andy Cantwell anymore.
Folks, he chose that title.
It's literally the clip at the start, right? The clip I've been sending you.
Yeah.
Robert Duvall's dead. I miss him. Yeah, 35 years old.
I'm gonna go.
Yeah. Goodbye. Yeah,
goodbye.
Okay.
Didn't know what time it was. The lights were low. Oh, oh. I leaned back on my radio. Oh, oh. Some cat was laying down some rock and roll. Not a soul is there. Then the loud sound that seemed to fade came back like a slow voice on a wave of fade. That weren't no DJ, that was hazy cosmic time. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds. There's a
children use it, let all the children.